Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is now grown. Today, it is my pleasure to have as a guest Phyllis Takar. Phyllis is a medical herbalist and she runs a junior herbalist club where kids aged 7 to 14 learn about common herbs whilst also having fun. We'll chat a little bit about that today and we'll also chat about her clinical practice, which is called The Herbal Way. And through that, Phyllis offers consultations on nutrition, fertility and treatment of common conditions. So medical herbalist. So welcome to the show, Phyllis.
Thank you, Anna. How are you?
Good, thank you. So you're from England, so North London to be precise, and what is a medical herbalist in that context and what is that in the Australian context too?
Yeah, well, medical herbalist is what we qualify in the UK because it's known as medical herbalism or phytotherapy, if you want to think of it that way. Phytotherapy is the study of herbs and plants, so using them as medicinal uses for common ailments or conditions if you wanted to support the body in any way. But also we do a lot of that through pathology analysis. So we do a lot of medical background as a medical herbalist in the UK. So I qualify from that in 1994, so it is actually quite some time. It's over 31 years I've been qualified. Moving here to Australia 17 years ago, obviously there is a slight difference in name. So in Australia and particularly America, they do call it naturopath or naturopathy, which again, it's very similar to phytotherapy, which is what we study herbs and how we can help people with using herbal medicine. But the thing is that the name is just a collection of an umbrella, or if you want to think of it like that, of different uses of whether they're going to use plants as medicine, whether they're going to use herbs, or whether they're going to do iridology, whether they're going to use nutrition. So there's a lot of different. So naturopathy comes out under a diverse umbrella of all these different therapies that you use. So I think in Australia, it's great to have that name because you do have a lot of diversity, whereas in Europe and especially UK, it's very much like, okay, this is a medical herbalism, this is phytotherapy, yeah. This is what you're doing. So yes. I did start off with doing a medical degree. So then I had to obviously work in hospitals. I actually worked alongside GPs. I worked alongside doctors. And you can branch out and do natural medicine from that if you want. To and nutrition. So a lot of my background is quite medical more than the naturopathy here. Mm-hmm. But in saying that, they do recognize us as medical herbalists, as a medical herbalist in Australia and obviously in Canada, in the US and all over the world. And there's a lot of associations for that. So I'm part of the Naturopathic and Herbalist Association of Australia. I'm also part of ATMS, which is also the Australian Traditional Medicine Society. So that's all my saying to you that my qualification is recognized in Australia, which is great, and also the National Institute of Medical Herbalism in the UK, so NIMH as well. So that's all on my website to let people know, I suppose, and reassure them that my qualification is there and supported by associations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that That's probably the slight differences between the naturopathy and medical herbalism. But really, when I have a lot of naturopathy friends here, and when we have that discussion and we talk about, oh, you know, well, that herb is really good for this, or that condition is really great when you do a combination of this herb or whatever, and I find that we are all on the same path, which is great. Like, I like that because we are on the same level. Even though I may have qualified in the UK, it doesn't really make a lot of difference because we all speak the same language on herbs. So, and that's the fundamental importance part of being, I suppose, under that umbrella of naturopathy. So, yeah. So,
And how do you balance these? You've got this scientific background too. So how do you balance the scientific and more intuitive aspects of herbalism in your practice?
yeah, so the science part of it, I think, comes more from when you're working with a lot of medical teams, especially in the UK when I did a lot of that work. It gives you more of an in tune to be able to do analysis on pathology, and a lot of that sort of biochemistry and obviously what is going on in the body, like what is these changes that are happening. And a majority of the time, you have to obviously go through all these. I'm sure everybody's known that through going to a GP, and they say, oh, you go, here's a pathology form, or here's an investigation form or referral, just go off and have your pathology done, or have your, you know, ultrasound done, or whatever it is, whether it's an MRI or CT. So it's about being able to interpret that. It's about knowing the medical side of what's going on in the body. And part of my work is doing that analysis, which is something that I really have a lot of passion from, because I have got science diplomas, and obviously from that knowledge comes from experience, I suppose, as well, over the years of doing it. Naturopathy does do pathology as well, which is great, but the medical herbalism side of things is, I suppose, it's a little bit more in depth. So we do analyze a lot of those reports. I work through Nutrapath, which is a private pathology organization that actually can utilize a lot of these tests from your patients, and they can obviously file reports on those patients and what's going on in their condition. And those reports get to me, and then I can do an analysis report on that. So I think that's the great part of having that science associated with herbs. So yeah, it's a connection between the two.
Okay, well, let's get right back to the actual plant. I love that plant therapy, that phytotherapy. So, well, tell me, what is one of the most common conditions that someone might come to you for? And
Yeah,
how
so
can
the common conditions that we mainly see are skin. So there's a lot of that, sort of the eczema, psoriasis, you know, acne, you get a lot of that. And hormonal, you know, you get a lot of those hormonal fluctuation, especially women's hormonal imbalances. So whether you're going through a menopause change, whether it's fertility, and you know, there's always issues with cycles, or whether there's a, you know, gynecological issue. So there's a lot of those coming in. That's very common. But you do get other things like mental health. I mean, that's on the rise a lot. You do see depression, anxiety, and obviously other issues that come with mental health. That it's not just mental health, actually. It's what I say to a lot of my patients is the physical with the mental. So it's the gut-brain axis. So it's all to do with what happens physically. So you get a lot of those patients come in and almost start off with saying, I've got anxiety. But you know what? When you talk about their actual what's happening physically with their bowels, it's almost like, yeah, I've had IBS, or you know, I've had this stomach problem for a while. And then also I've had really bad sleep. So they don't seem to realize there's a connection between the two. So the gut-brain axis is very important for me. So I do work along with those physical signs as much as the mental signs, which I haven't probably shared that I should have done in the beginning. So I've also got a certificate in counseling. So I do a bit of counseling with my patients as well. So it's almost like being able to give them an all-rounder picture of what's going on in their body and how they can help themselves, not only mentally, but also physically. So it's, yeah.
So tell me about which plants are our friends with all that. Tell me how the plants help.
Okay, so how the plants help, you need to be able to think about the association between the nature outside and how we've evolved over time, over the years, and also the fact that we are what we eat. So herbs are just not plants and medicinal plants. We actually incorporate them into our diet as well. So things like nettle, and we incorporate parsley, and we incorporate obviously seeds and things like that, nuts, and a lot of those things are nutritious. So we got to look at it in a way that we can eat all of these, but there are some which have medicinal effects as well. So particular herbs we're talking about, very, very common, is chamomile. So that's pretty much out there where a lot of people know about chamomile and its soothing effect and helping with digestion and even like the nervous tummy. And it's so gentle, it's even great for babies and children. So they're very, very gentle herbs. Lavender is another one, which is great. So you've got that calming effect from lavender to help you with relaxation, help you with sleep, but also those beautiful essential oils that you get from lavender. The smell of it is a repellent, but it also helps you with, things like bites and stings. If you actually did get a little bite, you can put a little bit of lavender oil on it, and it will be very antiseptic and healing and bring down that horrible little bite that you've got that's inflamed. So even those common herbs, like you got them in your garden, you walk in your garden and you can see, or you can walk through parks or people's front yards, you can see, there's a lavender bush there, or there's chamomile growing everywhere. And most of these herbs are just abundance around us. And with that, that's the bit that I feel like if I bring Junior Herbalist Club in, it is the beauty of my work with children. It's almost like showing them these herbs, and they're like, oh wow, we just actually didn't think that we can do all this from just these little flowers or little herbs from the garden. And that's the beauty of having them just right at your doorstep. And they've got powerful properties in them.
Can I'd like to come back to the Junior Herbalist Club very shortly, but I was just thinking about even the weeds in the garden. So can I put you on the spot and ask you some questions? Say, thinking about my own garden, I've got lots of mallow at the moment that grows wild. Can you tell me about the medicinal and nutritional qualities of mallow?
So mallow is another species that comes from the marshmallow plant. So it's called marshmallow. That's why it's called mallow, but there is certain different types. So there is a white marshmallow and there's a black one. A black one is specifically mallow. So I don't know if you noticed, does it have white or black flowers
I don't
to
ever
them?
see it flowering. It's just got, no, I haven't seen the flower actually, just the leaf.
Okay. Because usually they do flower black if it's mallow, and they have really soft, very velvety leaves. I don't know if you've noticed that. And that's the beauty of mallow, because it's very, very soft and it's demulcent. So if you actually did crush the leaves and we boil them, you can actually have a soothing effect from mallow. And that's the beauty of marshmallow. We actually make a class with marshmallow. We use marshmallow root or we use the marshmallow leaf. We have a couple of classes for that. And we make marshmallow ice cream with the kids. And we also do a marshmallow with sage throat spray, which is good for throat sore throats. So very soothing. It's very good for the gut. It's very good for the stomach. So if you have actually had a little bit of a gastro, or you feel like, you know what, I have a bit of a tickly throat, or I feel I have a bit of an upset stomach, I can actually boil a little bit of mallow, and obviously drink that with maybe a chamomile or something like that, which is also a digestive soothing tonic herb. So mallow is beautiful because the kids love the soft leaves. When I bring them into class, they actually start feeling them and they're like, oh, like this is really soft. It's almost like velvet. That's
Like a
how it is.
little lamb's ears or something.
They're very, very soft, very delicate, and they've got beautiful little flowers. I'm hoping yours flowers, because the flowers they've got is beautiful. It's either really nice, deep sort of purple black color, or they're very white with a little pink in them. So they're very beautiful when they flower as
I'll have
well.
to look
So
at. I wonder why I haven't seen them flower. I'll look out for it this spring and see
yeah,
what
maybe just have
happens.
a look and see. Maybe it hasn't grown enough, but springtime it should start to flower. So you should be able to enjoy the beautiful colors of flowers coming through, hopefully.
All right. Well, let's take us back to the Junior Herbalist Club, and I'm looking forward to hearing all the activities you do with the kids. But first of all, where did the idea come from, and what is the Junior Herbalist Club?
So Junior Herbalist Club, the idea came around about 3 or 4 years ago. I sort of started to think, look, I'm li literally hitting 30 years of qualification here, getting over my 50s, thinking like, there's a lot of these children around nowadays. They've got their tablets, they've got their iPhones, they've got their computers, and a lot of the time they're indoors. They're not really enjoying nature outside, or maybe not having the chance to go out and enjoy nature. So thinking that, what about me being able to pass on that knowledge to children, giving them fun activities, educational activities, so that they can enjoy the beautiful nature, the flowers and plants we've got, even the seeds that we talk about. We talk about pollination, we talk about, what the birds, the bees do for us, in the sense of they pollinate our flowers, and obviously they make our fruits grow. They provide a lot of that ecosystem around us. They learn a lot of that in our classes as well. But also at the end of the sessions, they're actually making things from these herbs. So they're taking little products home, they're taking little goodies home, so they can show their family and what they've done. And you'd be surprised, I'm saying this with a full utter passion, that I have parents SMSing me saying, "You never guess what my daughter's done with the calendula class that you did." And I said, and I'm like, what's happened? It's just like, oh, she's going to sick bay, and she's telling the nurse, school nurse, can she please have some calendula cream because she has a cut. Or we've come across lavender on our walk, and we've had a full lecture from my daughter or my son that, this lavender is so good for this, and why would we do, what would we do with it? And you'd be amazed how much these children learn, and they'd sort of almost like, they start to sort of appreciate nature. They start to appreciate their garden and what's in their garden, in their parks, or, in the wildlife around them. Even if they went on nature walks, they start to appreciate what's around them. They start to appreciate the bees and what they do for us, the butterflies, the pollinators, the insects. We talk all about that because that's all a part of our ecosystem. But not only that, it's biology, it's science, it's botany. This is what, the children enjoy to learn about and make things from that. So Junior Herbalist Club, I started about 3 to 4 years ago now, and I've started doing level one, and then I moved to level two. So we started with level one with like 10 different types of herbs, and we started to do sort of almost basic learning and what we can make out of those herbs. And then we moved into a little bit more advanced level, to level two, and then they're sort of almost like hands-on now. So the kids are sort of like, well, you've had your basic little learning of level one. Now we can have you hands-on and start making the goodies yourself. So they start to sort of get more excited because we have a lot more herbs to learn about in level two, and a lot more to make. So I'll probably say, like, typical things we do is things like we make lip balms, we make bath bombs, we make oil infusions, we make little creams, we make gummies, cough medicines, teas, all those sort of things that you can basically do at home, even with an adult. And they can actually enjoy that activity, to say that, look, I can just go in the garden, pick it up, and then make whatever I want to do with an adult at home. Most of the time, we do a lot of recap in class, because I do always want to make sure the child knows the differences of those herbs as well. Because I do say to them, there's a lot of species out there, and they may look the same, but if you're not sure it is,
That's an
is that
important
as well.
point, isn't
Yeah, that's a good
it?
thing that I thought I put in there, because a lot of the time we go through that a lot in class. Almost like every class we sort of say, if you come across this species, you need to ask whether it is sage, or ask it is chamomile, because there is different families that they come from. We have the daisy family, we have the labiata, which is the mint family. So you need to know that you're actually using the right mint, or you're using the right daisy, or the right chamomile, or the right lavender, that kind of thing, because there are different species out there. So it's great that they learn that as well, because it's important that they know they're picking the right thing. So Junior Herbalist Club, I think, is giving a lot for the children to enjoy everything about nature, doing a lot of the biology, science, making things, but also incorporating the outdoors in. And they get to use all their senses. I always say to them, use all your senses, smell, touch, feel. You're making things, so you're tasting them. So some have bitter actions, some have smooth actions, some have maybe sweet actions, like we do licorice. And they're like, oh, they didn't realize it was sweet. And I'm like, well, actually, it's 50 times more sweeter than sugar. And they all look at me like, with like, oh my God, like all their eyes open up, like, really? And I'm like, yeah, it is, and it's nice when they use all those senses as well, because it's very important, I think, for children when they're developing to use a lot of those senses as well. So, yeah, touch, feel, smell, taste, all of those. Yeah.
Published or Not has been around for years, but now Jan Goldsmith is joined by
David McLean. We will chat about words and writing, authors and audiences, publishers and printing, a voice for them all on 3CR.
Published or Not, every Thursday, 11:30 till noon.
When you get home, baby, write me a few of your lines.
Are you a 3CR subscriber?
We really need our listeners to subscribe to the station. It helps us remain financially independent and is an important part of our community governance.
It's just $40 concession, $80 waged, $150 for a band or organisation, and $300 solidarity.
Become a 3CR subscriber today.
3CR, Radical Radio.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kilohertz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show, and you can find all of our podcasts if you go to 3CR Local Food Connections. Today I'm chatting with Felicita Carr about herbs, but much, much more about herbs. It's about I'm just really hearing here of about this kind of thorough education that a young child can get through exploring herbs, being able to name them, being able to use them, and to be able to make something out of them, and the huge potential for a very holistic education in who we are and what the natural world is and how we relate to it. So interesting. I'm interested now, Felice, in how old are these kids? Well, I just said young kids, but what age do you take them at? Is it all
Oh, seven. I think seven is a really good age. 7 to 12. We've gone up to even 14. But yeah, 7 to 12 is great. If they have that sort of basic understanding, that's more than enough, because, as I said, they're using a lot of their other senses. So they're using their touch, taste, smell. So even if they find it very difficult to do their little worksheets, because we do have worksheets that they sort of write down what their herbs are about and what we use them for. So they can always go back to that at home and obviously have those little recipes with them. It doesn't really matter on that. They get a lot of support in class. It's all about activities, all about social groups as well, meeting other children and making friends. So it's more than that. It's not just the child just sort of writing and then just making things. It's a corporation of a lot of things that go into it. So 7 to 12 is really ideal. I mean, the average age we're getting is about 8, 9, and 10s, which is great.
Yeah,
So they
perfect.
have a great understanding. They have a great appreciation as well for nature, and they have a lot of fun. And that's the bit I like. They have fun, and I like that, because if I have my feedback that comes from parents and they're saying, oh my God, my daughter came home, she was so excited, she can't wait for the next class, or my son came home, he was so happy with what he's made and he's talked all about it and he can't wait for session two, then that just makes my day,
Yeah,
because
totally.
I know that they've had fun, and that's the important part, is the
Yeah.
fun bit.
Okay, I need to know now then, and everyone's probably wondering, where and when do these take place?
Yeah, so we started to do a series. So we did do a run of classes at Ceres Community Environment Park in Brunswick. We've now moved to Raynor Street neighborhood house in Coburg. So we're running our level two sessions at the moment. We've just completed two workshops of level one, so we now started on level two. We have got another workshops coming up early January next year. So we're doing like a little holiday camp workshops, which is great. So a lot of kids, if they want activities during their holiday time, we're starting to do that now, and I'm actually starting to take enrollments so I can give their early bird discount for parents as well to help with making it more affordable. So if they wanted to contact me, then we can start enrolling now for January. Their classes get really fully booked out, so it's almost like I have to start, say, 4, 5, 6 months beforehand enrolling, because otherwise I don't have the space and capacity to do that. So I find that it's really helpful to start from at 2, 3, 4 months before, so that I can get the kids enrolled. So the Coburg one is probably the one that we're running now more often, which is beautiful. They have an absolute beautiful community garden there. It's amazing. Lots and lots of herbs, lots and lots of flowering plants, weeds. The kids love it. They explore the garden with me. When we go into class, we make things what we've picked in the garden, or, you know, if I've got fresh, freshly picked ones, it's great. Or we use dried herbs. It doesn't really matter, really. I think at the end of the day, they just sort of get to appreciate the actual herb. And what more better is to have a place where you can actually just have your child in the garden, pick whatever they do, enjoy that garden, and then move into the classroom. So it's a beautiful place in Coburg, and I find that it's really lovely, and the kids love it. So
I can see this happening at every community garden. And just that idea, the kid can go and pick. The kids love picking flowers.
They love knowing
the names of them and everything.
And that's what we do, because we walk around the garden, and then a lot of them, they go, "Oh, miss, this is dandelion." And I'm like, that's great. Like, I'm so happy that they can actually, I find it amazing that they can, after one or two sessions, that they can actually recognize the herbs or the weeds, and they can name them. And we learn about Latin names, and I always say to them, "What's the Latin name for that?" You know, or we have like sort of, "What would you make from that?" You know, and it's amazing how they learn so much. And the mothers and the fathers, they always like sort of, when they speak to him about it, and they say, like, "We go on nature walks, and amazing, it's like I've got this little scientist next to me, or a little botanist next to me." And then I'm like, "Wow, great, that's a good inspiration," you know. And I think I've had one turn around and said, "I'm going to be a naturopath." So that's a really good thing.
Oh, I'm sure that'll have multiple long-term consequences, what you're doing there. What else? Do the parents stay in with the kids, or do they just leave you to it?
Look, I'm very flexible with parents. You know, some parents may feel like, you know, they want to be close to their child. That I understand. You know, if they're like sort of 7 or 8, I think that's fine. They can stay with their child. There's no issues with that. And most of the time, parents enjoy it too. I have parents saying to me, "Wow, I've learned a lot today." So that's good as well. So I suppose it's very educational for parents. But I think sort of like 8, 9, 10 years up, not a lot of parents stay. I find that the children are very confident. They just sort of want their parents to just leave, and then they'd sort of have their own sort of independence on that day, socializing and obviously enjoying the class. So maybe 7, 8 year old, that's fine. But I think from 8, 9, 10 years old, I think they're old enough to be in class on their own. If they want to stay, then I don't have any issues with that. That's fine. We always welcome the parents, so there's no issues with that.
Have you thought about expanding this to offer it to school groups?
Yes, we have actually got in touch with a lot of schools around. It's been a little bit difficult to get into that, because you have to sort of almost tick the boxes of all extracurricular education. But plus on top of that, I've been in touch with the Victoria Hen. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, because that's the homeschooling education in Victoria. Yes. And they've been really, really interested. They're very helpful. And we do get a lot of homeschooling children as well as public school children, which is good. And I like that, because I think that's great, because we have a diversity of different backgrounds of children coming in. But yeah, I think homeschooling would probably be the most popular, because they always need an extra science curriculum in their learning of their learning curriculum listing, because home education, you have to complete a criteria. Obviously, you have to fulfill that criteria.
Yes, yeah.
So therefore, parents do think that it's a wonderful way of sort of almost like having that little niche of sciences and botany and biology. So that sort of
Yeah.
ticks that box for their extracurriculum in that
Absolutely,
section as
yeah.
well. Yeah,
Yeah, and the most
which is good.
delightful way too, in a
Yeah,
lovely
and
way.
their kids love it, and they have fun, and they go home with lots of goodies. So, what more better than that? Yeah,
So
which
they
is
can go to
good.
the Local Food Connect website to and scroll down to events and find your event listed there. Is there anywhere else they can go to find this? Or do you want to give us
Yeah,
your
they can go straight to my website, theherbalway.com.au. And I also have a Insta, which is theherbalwayau, and they can actually see on the Insta a lot of all the activities that children have done at the Junior Herbalist Club, and obviously what else I do offer as well in my clinic. Yeah, I'm happy for people to give me a call or chat to me about it. Yeah.
That's all we've got time for, Phyllis. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was lovely. It was lovely chatting with you. And I hope people will be getting more or less inspired with the Junior Herbalist Club and obviously the nature around them.
My name's Anne Stanley, and my guest was Phyllis Dakar. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, take care of each other. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Oh, and don't forget to go to Local Food Connect to find out all the different events that you can attend in the coming weeks. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.